Former offensive lineman for the University of Alabama, Bill Searcy, joins us via the telephone. Bill, I hope you're doing well. Welcome into the game on 99.1 WDGM.
Thank you, guys. Great to talk to you again.
How about that whipping the boys from Tuscaloosa laid on the boys from South Bend?
Well, I think I sent you a text, and I said that I didn't think I had ever seen anything like that, and it was just total domination. As far as I was concerned, the game was over after the second possession. And, mentally and physically, Alabama left no doubt who the national champion was.
Bill, you look at the offensive line, and we want to get your opinion on the offensive linemen, but does that just show you the gap that the SEC, and especially the ones at the top, Alabama, LSU, and Georgia, and you might even put Florida and South Carolina there as maybe a lower-tier top team. It shows you the gap between the top of the SEC and the rest of college football?
I think so. I don't think it would have mattered who the team was. If it would have been Oregon, I think the same thing would have happened. I think it shows you the difference between not only the conferences and the football and the rest of America, but I think it also shows you the difference between Alabama and the rest of the Southeastern Conference also. The Georgia game obviously was a much closer game. I mean, there was four or five more yards, and Georgia would have been where we were, but they weren't. And I think the offensive line against Notre Dame proved that they were the best in the country, without a doubt. And it was just amazing to watch the offensive line. As a former offensive lineman, it was just beautiful, man.
I want you to help us understand Barrett Jones, okay? And I know that you've played many positions on the offensive line, so you understand what it takes to play at that high level in several different positions. But Barrett Jones performed last Monday night as well as you can expect. And then we found out, now we knew this, we thought, going into the game, but really didn't have enough confirmation to even go with the story. And really, we didn't want it, because you look at Barrett Jones playing with torn ligaments in his foot. I don't know if what a leader this guy is.
I can't even emphasize enough, and people who aren't real football fans, surely I don't think can understand, number one, is how hard it is to do what Barrett has done in playing three different positions on national championship teams, and playing tackle and center and guard, and being the top guy at that position at that time in the country, almost at any one of those three positions. And then, of course, we find out playing with torn ligaments after the fact. And by the way, the guy he was blocking for Notre Dame wasn't a small guy. Pushing off of that damaged foot with torn ligaments had to be extremely painful. Hey, he came through, like the champion that he is, and just amazing, man. They dominated that nose guard. I believe his name was Nix, and for Notre Dame, and he's a big, he's a 340-50-pound guy. So they tossed him around and pushed him around like he was a high school kid.
Bill, when you were playing offensive lineman, you guys had a lot of success, and you were able to run the ball successfully in that wishbone formation. Did you look across the defensive line and see these guys giving up because they didn't know how to stop Alabama? Did that ever happen in your college career?
Well, it did, but and I think it becomes, for a lot of reasons. One of them is because we were so deep at every position that in running the wishbone, we would rotate in, pretty much three. We could rotate three full offensive lines. We could change out the five interior guys at three different levels and not miss, not lose too much going from the first to the third team. And so we physically and mentally, I guess, would just wore people down, and it was a constant pounding because we didn't do any finesse blocking. There wasn't any position blocking in our scheme. It was all come off the ball, hit you in the mouth, and drive you off the ball. And so it was a lot of just one-on-one, kind of man-on-man blocking and back in those wishbone days. And we just, we would wear you down. And I think that's you know, that's what has happened a lot this year with Alabama. Of course, they're a lot bigger now than we were then. I mean, we didn't have any 300-pound linemen on the line when we were playing. We were quick and we were well conditioned, and so we just wore other teams down, and that's what Alabama did to Notre Dame, I think.
Bill, you arrived in Tuscaloosa. You played that 77 year. Is that correct?
I was a redshirt freshman in 77.
Many folks have said Notre Dame got a little payback for 66, 73, and 77. Do you feel like that Notre Dame got a little payback last Monday night, 42-14?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and you got to remember, we played them. I got to play against Notre Dame actually one time, and that was in 1980. We played them in Birmingham, and they beat us 7-0. And they crossed the 50-yard line one time and scored and beat us 7-0 that night. So my payback was for 80 for me also. And they, in 80, we had already lost one game, and that was our second loss of the year, which effectively put us out of any chance of becoming national champion in 80, which would have been our third in a row. So there was definitely, what they did to Notre Dame was a payback for several Alabama teams.
Bill, as we throw up the analysis and try to compare Coach Saban and Coach Bryant, not saying one's better than the other one, but I think we have to look at what Coach Saban has done. Is it fair to say that it's comparable to what Coach Bryant accomplished in Tuscaloosa?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think what Coach Saban has done in such a short period of time obviously is very, very impressive. Coach Bryant obviously was at Alabama much longer than Coach Saban has been thus far. Who's to say what will happen in the future? I think if Coach Saban stays long enough, he will surpass Coach Bryant's championships, and assuming things are going to stay consistent. And I think if anything, we know Coach Saban's consistent about what the way he prepares and the way his team prepares. So, I think it's fair to talk about them in the same conversation. And gosh, I mean, if we're true Alabama fans, let's hope he does stay long enough and does break all of Coach Bryant's records.
We're talking with Bill Searcy, former offensive lineman, very versatile guy back in the 70s. He never lost to the Auburn Tigers. I always like to emphasize that. You won four SEC championships. You won two national titles. Had a successful career here in Tuscaloosa. And we're talking with Bill Searcy as we talk about his playing days and sort of trying to relate that to Notre Dame and Alabama. Bill, I'm going to say something to you, and I hope you're sitting down.
I am.
About a week ago, maybe a week and a half, we would take a survey of a sample of college football fans, and you would say, what's the best college football program of all time? And you would get a sampling of Notre Dame and Alabama and USC and Michigan. But, my friend, I must tell you, on January the 15th of 2013, that debate is no longer valid. Alabama has surpassed those teams and what they've been able to accomplish, because 15 national titles, 120 years of playing college football, this is the best that college football has to offer.
I no doubt. I mean, it's I don't know. I guess the only word I keep coming up with is domination, and I think it's only going to get better by the looks of things. I mean, Coach Saban is just – I mean, I think – I was watching the game the other night, and I was thinking about those guys that were playing in that game on our side of the ball, those young guys, and I hope they realize what special people, I mean, what special teams they're playing on, and what they're doing for themselves, but not only for themselves, but for the university and for our state, and that we can all learn something from watching the way that team operates and is so efficient in what it does. And Coach Saban is obviously wakes up every day with a plan, and he works that plan every day, day in and day out, and we see what the results are. And I think we can all learn something about that in business, in life, whatever. If we can duplicate some of that in our own lives, it surely probably wouldn't hurt.
We're talking with Bill Searcy. We're going to talk about his book in just a couple of minutes. That's set to be release later this year. We're going to talk about that. But I want to go back to something that Nick Saban said, because you've been on repeat national champions. You know what it takes to go to the pinnacle and then go back to the pinnacle. Let's look at this year, or let's go back to 78 and 79. Was it harder in year number two? Nick Saban said it's hard to keep these guys motivated in year number two. Did you feel that way in 78, 79 when you repeated?
Yes, it was. Coach Bryant would always tell us that as hard as it is to become champion, it's harder to stay champion, and that everybody wants to be a champion, but that not everybody wants to prepare or do what it takes to become a champion. And, once again, I think that transfers over to a lot of things other than just football, but we're speaking of football. And, you got to realize that the players are young guys and they haven't totally fully developed, in their mental attitudes. And so you've got teenagers that you're trying to keep motivated. And, I mean, they want to enjoy the win. They want to relive that win daily, I'm sure, right now. And their mind is probably still back in playing Notre Dame, but the coach's mind is on the next season already and preparing, and it's really hard to get yourself motivated, but we've got a coaching staff, luckily, that will make sure that happens. And the more championships they win, I mean, the third one coming up will be in a row will be harder than this past one, and the reason is not only your mental stake, but the other teams are going to be better prepared for you the next go-around. I mean, that Texas A&M is going to be even better prepared next year when we play them than they were this year. And that goes for every other team we play. It doesn't matter. So now the bullseye on our backs just got larger, and everybody wants to beat us, and everybody will do whatever it takes to beat us. And you can bet they're preparing right now with pictures of Alabama on the wall in the locker room already. That's what everybody's living for, is to beat Alabama now.
We're talking with Bill Searcy, and Bill, we want to talk about your book. I know you've been putting that together, and it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of long nights to put together a book. And I know it's going to tie in your life, but it's also going to talk about our Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Talk about your book, and where are you at this point putting that together?
Well, actually, I just sent the last chapter off last week, and we're trying to put the finishing touches on the cover and the endorsements from some people that'll be written in there and that kind of thing. So basically the book's being put actually physically put together now. Hopefully, I don't have an exact date when it'll be available, but it'll be this spring. And it's obviously it's a book, and the name of the book, by the way, for those who haven't heard me say, is called High Tide: A Story of Football, Free Fall, and Forgiveness. And it's just a book about a guy, which is me, which had a lot of opportunities in his life. At one time, was at the top, went to the bottom, and then how I've been able to and continue to hopefully get my life back on track and head in the right direction. But only is that possible through Jesus. And so. That's what the book is about. There is football in there, and there's stories of football in there, but it's more a book about how Jesus became my Savior, my Lord, and has helped me get through some of those times, from sleeping on the street and in a car, and now back into the mainstream of life and trying to get back into somewhat of what we would call a normal life.